This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 244, for the weekend of October 16th through October 18th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Once again in October. How you doing, Art?
Doing good. Look at us, 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, I know. You might, don't call it a comeback, though. All right, and I guess there really isn't else much to say. Oh, you might notice that we are missing our third co-host, Tad. Tad, I believe, is overrun with family, so he is going to be out of commission for a little bit longer. But we will try, or not only try, we will be looking forward to when we can have him back on. So, Tad, we miss you, and but we'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's get down to some manner of business. So, let's talk about what happened at the box office last week. At number one, Yawn, The Martian, number one again with $37 million. At number two, Hotel Transylvania 2 at $20.4 million. At number three, new release Pan came in at $15.3 million. At number four, we have The Intern with $8.7 million. And at number five, we have Sicario, who is not from Mario Kart, but anyways, $7.6 million. And there's your top five. Art, anything to say?
Nothing. Nice to see Martian still holding well. $100 million for its first 2 weeks. That's pretty decent. Aubrey and Brittany actually went to see... No, Aubrey just went. Her aunt took her to see Hotel Transylvania 2. Me and Brittany got the night off. and Aubrey said she really enjoyed it, and she wants to go see it again and drag me and her mom along. I don't know if we'll go catch a matinee maybe on Sunday, or if we'll just wait till it comes out on DVD. One or the other, but I've heard good things. So
something to keep an eye on, Steve Jobs movie, or excuse me, the movie Steve Jobs, if I'm going to say it correctly, had probably a very decent average of $130,000 per screen. So that's probably going to make some money when it goes into wider release, if that is going to happen. But
I can't see why it wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, okay. So that ends the last week's weekend as far as the box office was concerned. And so now we have three new movies this weekend. So Art, why don't you tell us about the first one?
Okay, first up, we are going to talk about Bridge of Spies. This is 91% fresh on the tomato meter. 98% people want to see it. Tom Hanks stars as the American attorney tasked with negotiating the release of a U-2 spy plane pilot who was shot down over Russia at the height of the Cold War in this historical drama from DreamWorks Studio. Steven Spielberg and Mark E. Platt produce a film written by Matt Charman. This is PG-13, genre mystery and suspense, directed by Steven Spielberg, written by Matt Charman, Ethan Coen, and Joel Coen. Coen?
Also known as the Coen brothers.
Oh, I don't know why I always... Oh, that's going to come up later. Yeah. I don't know why I always thought that was with an H, Coen. Mm-hmm. Coen. So the Coen brothers. Mm-hmm. Oh, then I have really lost all interest in this movie. Anyway... runtime 1 hour and 35 minutes. We have Tom Hanks. We have Mark Rylance. We have a bunch of people I don't know. Do you know any of these people?
Caught me off guard there because I was looking at what the Coen brothers have done. Amy Ryan. She used to be on The Office, I think. Alan Alda.
Alda is not. Oh, there he is, very low down. Okay, yeah, Alan Alda, all the way at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, no, this has Oscar bait written all over it.
Yeah, I suppose. People really like the Coen brothers. I not so much.
Really?
Yeah, we'll get into it later. So, yeah, I have my... Tom Hanks has really made a resurgence for me as an actor, but the Coen brothers really puts this off my radar.
Okay, so just real quickly, it sounds like that there is a particular movie that turned you off the Coen Brothers.
No. I've seen several. I started watching one, and I will talk to you more about it in share time.
Okay,
So
all right.
I have I can't think of a single Coen Brothers movie that I've seen or that I know anything significant about that I have any real desire to see.
Okay, we will follow up on that tease later.
Yes.
Okay, buckle in, folks. It's time for Goosebumps. 76% on the tomato meter out of 33 reviews, 25 fresh and 8 rotten, and out of 20, or roughly 25,000 Rotten Tomatoes users, 95% want to see it. So here is the probably overlong description. Upset about moving from a big city to a small town, teenager Zach Cooper, Dylan Minnette, finds a silver lining when he meets the beautiful girl Hannah, Odeya Rush, living next door. But every silver lining has a cloud, and Zach's comes when he learns that Hannah has a mysterious dad who is revealed to be R.L. Stine, Jack Black, the author of the best-selling Goosebumps series. Meta plus one. It turns out that there is a reason why Stine is so strange. He is a prisoner of his own imagination. The monsters that his books have made famous are real, and Stine protects his readers by keeping them locked up in their books. When Zack unintentionally unleashes the monsters from their manuscripts and they begin to terrorize the town, it's suddenly up to Stine, Zack, and Hannah to get all of them back in the books where they belong. Note: Scholastic has sold over 400 million Goosebumps books worldwide in 32 languages since the series' introduction in 1992, earning critical acclaim and dominating global bestseller lists. R.L. Stine has been recognized as one of the best-selling children's authors in history. Rated PG for scary and intense creature action and images, and for some rude humor. Genre is horror, kids and family, mystery and suspense. Directed by Rob Letterman, no relation. Written by Mike White, Darren Lemke, Scott Alexander, Larry Kowajewski, excuse me, and Arl Stein. Runtime is going to cost you 1 hour and 43 minutes, parents. Jack Black, Amy Ryan is in this movie too. Wow, she's
Wow.
Ken Marino, Kumail Nanjiani. Actually, the real R.L. Stine is in the cast list.
Nice.
So yeah. I really don't have a choice. I think the kids are going to force me to take them to see this, but
That is the
I
word on
don't
the street.
know.
We have a Melissa Eastwood in the list. I wonder if there's any relation there.
Jared Sandler. Yeah, so just could be people with common last names.
It could be. It could be.
I don't know.
So, yeah, you're getting dragged along to this one. So we'll get a report on that in the future.
We'll see. We will see. All right, Art, why don't you tell us about the last one?
All right, and the last movie on our list is Crimson Peak. 67% fresh on the tomato meter, so that is three fresh movies for this week. Very nice. 97% want to see it. When her heart is stolen by a seductive stranger, a young woman is swept away to a house atop a mountain of blood-red clay, a place filled with secrets that will haunt her forever. Between desire and darkness, between mystery and madness, lies the truth behind Crimson Peak. From the imagination of director Guillermo del Toro comes a supernatural mystery starring Tom Hiddleston, Jessica Chastain, Mia Wasikowska, and Charlie Hunnam. Rated R for bloody violence, some sexual content, and brief strong language. Genre horror, directed by Guillermo del Toro, written by Guillermo del Toro, Matthew Robbins, and Lucinda Coxon. Runtime, 1 hour and 59 minutes.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd watch this. I'm not a big
Yeah, me neither.
horror buff.
Hey, it's got Doug Jones.
And who would I know? How would I know Doug Jones?
Doug Jones is, I think he took over for, shoot. I think he played the. He reprised David Hyde Pierce's role in Hellboy 2, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it looks like he was in Hellboy.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Hellboy 2, yeah.
So yeah, somebody Guillermo del Toro, I think, likes.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, I recognize the name, so threw it out there.
So yeah, maybe someone out there will have to, not an alien, but someone else other than me and Art, will call in and tell us how this movie is.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So that is the movies that are coming out in the theaters this weekend. So now we can get the share time. And because there were three movies, I will be starting off a share time. And I wish I had more to talk about, but I haven't really seen any movies since we've talked last time. Even though the new Walking Dead started, I hadn't gotten around to seeing it. Really, I'm just trying to, I'm almost caught up with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because we ended up watching the one that was on last night. So, I'm trying to coax my mother-in-law out to go see The Martian because she doesn't go to the movies very much, but she likes sci-fi. So, maybe there's that. But sorry, guys, I really don't have a whole lot to contribute as far as TV and movies.
Okay.
So Art, lay it on me.
Okay, so we are going to go with, we're going to start off with, I started watching the Roswell cartoon series. It's something I had picked up a while ago, and we were flipping through things to watch, and Aubrey has been on this Aliens kick, because we watched, I told you about Planet 51,
mm-hmm.
With The Rock. And then we just recently watched Escape from Planet Earth.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that one, but it was mm-hmm. very much kind of in the same theme. It was almost the same theme, but on a different... Planet 51 was, you know, The Rock plays an astronaut who goes to an alien planet, and the alien planet there is kind of right in the middle of the 50s sci-fi kind of craze. You know, when rockets were everything and they were just getting ready to kind of go into space, blah, 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 blah. And it's a really good story. I really enjoyed it. Well, Escape from Planet Earth plays it all from the aliens' point of view. And they call our planet the Dark Planet because everybody who goes there disappears. And, you know, some aliens end up having to go to our planet and hijinks ensue. I really enjoyed it. So... that made me look into the things I had on DVD that I thought you might be interested in, and I broke out Roswell. It was a little borderline mature. There were some things she thought were scary, but after like three or four episodes, she was just like, yes, she liked it. And so I think we went through about a half dozen episodes in a single sitting, and I really enjoyed it. I don't know if you are familiar at all with the cartoon. I know at one point you were watching the TV show.
Yeah, I don't, not familiar with the cartoon version.
Yeah, there was a cartoon version. It was Roswell Conspiracy Mysteries and Aliens, or Aliens Conspiracies and Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic premise of the show is that all the kind of creatures of legend, the werewolves, vampires, banshees, they're not... supernatural creatures. They're actually aliens, different races of aliens that
okay.
you know, come to the planet one way or another, and that's how these legends were created. And people have been covering up, you know, these things and playing them off as legends to cover up the alien conspiracy. So it's pretty interesting. It's firmly, you know, mid to late 90s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little later than, maybe, you know, mid to late 90s. It's somewhere in there. But yeah, so and enjoying that. We watched Quest for Camelot. I don't know if you remember that one. That was another one that I think was late 90s Disney animated. At least I think it was. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was Disney. And it just, you know, Arthur, the Round Table, and bad guys, regular hijinks, everything you'd expect from a cartoon called Quest for Camelot. I have been catching up. I am probably about halfway through the second half of the second season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So getting caught up on that, enjoying it, seeing, you know, all the humans references and the Terrigen Mist and blah 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 blah. I'll be catching up with you soon.
Okay.
And then the last thing, I started Fargo, and I was probably about 45 minutes, an hour in, and I was like, I just can't do this. I I don't know what it was, but it was just completely rubbing me the wrong way. I was like, I'm going to turn this off, and I'm never going to turn this back on.
Hmm. Okay.
So I've pulled up the, their filmography. We have, Blood Simple. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we're talking about the Coen brothers. Okay,
the Coen
go
brothers,
ahead.
Yes, leading ahead. Out of Fargo into the Coen brothers. Blood Simple. I remember the trailers for this, but right here they have a little synopsis. A rich but jealous man hires a private investigator to kill his cheating wife and her new man. But when blood is involved, nothing is simple. So these are just the taglines and no interest. The Hudsucker Proxy. I remember watching it. But it's not anything I would ever go back to. It had some great performances. It was set in a really good era. So I guess I don't totally hate that one. I watched it all the way through, but it's not for everybody. Fargo, we just talked about. The Big Lebowski, I have never seen.
Okay, I'm gonna let me stop you. Let's go back one.
Okay.
Did you see Fargo?
What do you mean? Did I see Fargo?
The movie.
Fargo is the movie I started watching and got an hour in, decided not to finish.
Okay, I'm sorry, because Fargo is a TV series. I wasn't sure which one you were talking about.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the movie. I was about an hour into the movie, and I was like, I'm done.
Wow. Yeah. No, I enjoyed Fargo a lot.
So anyway, The Big Lebowski, I've heard all the references, I've seen all the memes. And I think at this point I'm not interested.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then let's see. Inside Llewyn Davis. That's the biop about a musician. Biopic, okay. Right? A Week in Life of a Young Singer. Blah 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 blah. 1961. No interest. Barton Fink. I tried watching that, and that was another one I didn't make it through. Okay. Burn After Reading, I remember seeing the previews, and I was like, not going to do it. Same with Intolerable Cruelty, The Lady Killers. No Country for Old Men. I wanted to see that at the time when it came out, and just, you know, I don't know. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I watched that movie all the way through, and never again. I watched it. I had a friend who really, really enjoyed it. You got to see this movie. Watched it, and I'm just like, I don't like the directing style. I don't like the way they're written. I keep watching them, and it's not there. Let's see. What else?
So, Art, can I say that you don't like quirky movies?
I would say that, but I guess it depends on the quirk, because, I mean, what... Yeah, I don't know. Bad Santa? No.
For me, the classic Coen Brothers movies. I didn't see Raising Arizona, and I heard great things about Raising Arizona, but it really started for me with Fargo and The Big Lebowski.
Right.
Just because with Fargo, it basically a crime story with no one that probably deserved to be on screen in a movie, as far as character wise, not necessarily actors and actresses. And at the time I was working at Sears Sporting Goods, and I did have to cover Lawn and Garden, and there wasn't one senior citizen talking about buying a lawnmower that didn't say, you know, do you have one that comes with a chipper? Cause I saw what they did in Fargo.
Right.
Kind of thing. Yeah, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, I thought was really good, even though I didn't watch it until they talked about it on Backseat Producers.
Right.
And No Country for Old Men, I think the movie was carried by, you know, that was my introduction to Javier Bardem.
Okay.
And just the choice of his weapon for the movie was just weirder than crap. that thing they used to put down cows.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And it wasn't necessarily a signature Coen Brothers movie, but I enjoyed the heck out of True Grit, too, even though I had no idea what I'm supposed to compare it to because I never saw the original.
Right, right. See, I that one I'm a little more interested in because I do love Westerns, and
right.
So that might drag me back in to see what they did with that. But it's just like, it's just they just don't resonate with me. And so, I don't know. They're quirky, but it's a different kind of quirky. Because I can think of other quirky movies that I really like. What defines a quirky movie? You know, I mean, is something like, I don't know, now I'm blanking, but... Because everything I would say is quirky, but I'm also pulling up things in my head that are also fantasy related or sci-fi related,
right?
You know, that are quirky. You know, Princess Bride is definitely quirky, but it's a fantasy. You know,
right.
Earth Girls Are Easy is quirky, but that's sci-fi. So
yeah,
maybe
there might be a better term to describe.
No, I think quirky suits it. It's just not my particular brand of quirky.
Right. Right, you know, I think that characters that are so far outside the expected archetype, maybe.
Right, right.
And so I don't know. Yeah, interesting. That's why, you know, they have movie podcasts.
Yeah.
You know.
To each their own.
Yeah.
But that wraps up my share time.
All right, so now that we're done with share time, now we can get over to news. And I think in this bizarro episode of Backseat Box Office, I will go first with news. So I guess we should talk about Star Wars.
Okay.
Or specifically Star Wars The Force Awakens, also known as Episode 7. Apparently we are days away from the full trailer being released. Supposedly it's going to be released on Monday the 19th.
Okay.
In addition to that, there has been a deleted tweet about being able to buy pre-sale tickets.
Oh.
So I don't know if I'm really that excited about doing pre-sale. Maybe this is just going to tell me I'm not going to be able to see it the opening weekend. But, you know, I'm almost of a mind that maybe we're better off not having a full trailer. Maybe we've seen enough. Obviously, this is going to be... pre-release Jeff, you're going to hear post-release Jeff probably next week talking about how wrong I was. But it could be maybe, you know, that we know enough already that they could probably just sit on whatever they were going to release. And, you know, it's still going to be just as good. I don't know. What do you think, Art?
You know, I'm one of those people who you can always just throw more at me. I'm, you know, when I'm this deep in, I just that, you know, if you told me we're going to release a trailer and it's going to be 99% of the movie and there's only going to be 1% left to see, I'm going to go watch the trailer and then I'm still going to go watch the movie because I'm up over my head and I don't care. I'm just all the way in.
Right. And on a side note that since Josh Trank, the director of Fantastic Four, has been removed from anything to do with any Disney movie, there's a rumor that they're going to place him with F. Gary Gray to do the Boba Fett movie. But along with that, I guess F. Gary Gray has a good relationship with Michael B. Jordan. So now there's a rumor that Michael B. Jordan could be playing Boba Fett in the movie, which I'm not exactly sure about. Yeah, I don't know, because I know that they killed a lot of stuff that was canon before Disney bought Star Wars.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure he's going to look different than how he looked in the prequels.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to handle it. But, you know, it's a rumor. What are you going to do?
Right, right. And, I mean, okay, but this is how far in the future? Another 20 years? 25 years? Do you remember?
Oh, you're talking about episode 7?
Yeah.
There's no real guarantee.
Oh, as far as when they're going to place
at
the
where
timeline.
it's going to put the timeline, because they're calling episode 7 and all these other movies anthology movies, and that the other ones are going to be called legends or legend movies.
Oh.
Kind of like kind of like, you know, because Rogue One is going to go back before, you know, when the supposedly when the rebels get their hands on the Death Star plans.
Right.
So it isn't, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking along those lines. Okay.
So who knows?
Yeah. Interesting.
All right, so what's your first news?
Okay, my first news. So this caught my eye because of a conversation we had last week. It said, Vin Diesel in a Dungeons & Dragons reboot, here's what he said. So it's hard to imagine any other actor more gung-ho about Dungeons & Dragons than Vin Diesel. The movie star constantly muses about his love for D&D on social media, has third-party books typically owned by old-school D&D fans, and played a massive game with the folks at The Nerdist, which we talked about last week. So given how studios love passionate actors who will vie for their properties, might he then want to star in Warner Brothers' upcoming Dungeons & Dragons movie? So during the press junket for The Last Witch Hunter, Cinema Blend geeked out with Diesel over the beloved role-playing game. And something came up with the film adaptation finally coming up because of the long-time lawsuit that was finally settled. He says, they have come to me in the past with something. I guess I was too busy at the time for me to do something like that. I would have to really think carefully about it because it would have to be amazing. And the previous attempts of any kind of cinematic D&D film have failed and just haven't been done right. And it's hard to do with a typical studio type in Hollywood. So they talk about the failures of the movie in 2000 and the one in 2005 and the one in 2012. And he says he, you know, considers it sacred territory, and they'd have to really do something major. So he just he's interested, but it would have to be the right thing. And I just think that's interesting. If anybody is ever passionate about a topic, he's definitely the one. So getting him on board, but they'd have to, like, I don't know, not give him creative control, but say, you know, maybe ask him, hey, what do you think about this? Give us your input. Are we going in the right direction? Can we find our butt with two hands and a flashlight? Right. You know? So, I don't know. I think that'd be interesting to see him in a D&D movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. All right. Now we're going to be getting into some weird depths with me as far as the news. IO9.com had this article called All 163 G.I. Joe or Real American Hero Action Figures Ranked. Did you see this list?
No.
Okay. All right. So it's pretty exhaustive. I didn't realize there was 163 different characters or action figures.
Oh, yeah.
But I just have to laugh at some of these names. So I'm going to pick some random ones, and I'm going to tell you what their job is.
Okay.
And I want you to guess what the name of the character is.
Okay.
So, like, at number one, Commando.
Oh, that's pretty generic. I don't know. Flint?
Who would be number one?
Who would be number one? Oh, as a commando? I don't know. Snake Eyes?
Snake Eyes.
Okay.
All right. So as we go down, helicopter pilot?
Oh.
Wild Bill.
Wild Bill. I was going to say something cowboy. It was a I knew he was a cowboy.
All right. How about firefighter?
No.
Barbecue.
Barbecue, yes.
We already talked about the warrant officer was Flint. The Rangers, Beachhead. What about missile specialist?
No, I got nothing.
Bazooka.
Bazooka, okay.
Medic?
No.
Doc. So I'm gonna go down. They even had a drill instructor was Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter, yeah. That one I know.
All right, so let me go down here. All right, how about computer specialist?
No.
Mainframe.
Yeah. Well, once you say the names, I remember them. I mean, but I haven't watched G.I. Joe since I was a kid.
How about fighter pilot?
Nope. Top Gun, maybe? I don't know.
Ace. Machine gunner?
Either Roadblock or Heavy Duty.
I'm sorry, I was scrolling down. Which one did I say? You said rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Okay.
And we can go on for hours here, but
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
gonna go all the way to the end. So the bottom five, two, three, four, five. Okay, 159. Windmill, who is the Skystorm X-wing chopper pilot. This dude is a disaster on every level. And then they have Tijabang, ninja swordsman. Robo Joe is the jet tech operations expert.
Okay.
162, Grunt. Right. And then at number 163, the flamethrower commando, ice cream soldier.
Nice.
There's no
Wow.
way any Joe wanted even th There's no way any Joe wanted to even talk to his lunatic, let alone go into battle with him. So yeah, apparently this goes under way too much free time. All
Yeah.
right, Art, what do you got next?
Oh, you've thrown me so off. Okay. All right. Live action Tarzan is apparently $180 million mess. So, with Warner Brothers still reeling from the fact that Pan lost them a monumental amount of money, they now have had to move on to their next crisis with the revelation that their Tarzan reboot has hit some issues too. And these aren't just minor issues because the $180 million blockbuster is in a bit of a pickle. It remains unfinished, and his director has already moved on to his next project. So I didn't even know they were working on a Tarzan live action reboot. But this sounds like a disaster just waiting to happen. This is going to be our, and it's sad for such a storied property. Makes me think of what happened with the Lone Ranger and the John Carter of Mars, and
Right.
it's just like some of these things that they just get out of hand, and this looks like this might be the next one. And who knows when we might finally see the live action Tarzan. It has Alexander Skarsgård as the titular character and Margot Robbie as Jane. So we'll see what happens with that.
All right, so my last news story is 10 audiobooks that are worth getting for the voice acting alone. Now, I wasn't into all 10, so there's only a couple of these that I wanted to report to everybody. So at number 9, they have A Rage in Harlem, read by Samuel L. Jackson, which is apparently A Rage in Harlem is the first in a series of 9 books that explore the methods of Harlem detectives Coffin Ed Johnson and Gravedigger Jones. Samuel L. Jackson has one of the most recognizable voices in the English-speaking world, and he's become America's cool dad. So hearing him read the story of doomed love, betrayal, con artistry, and murder is bizarrely comforting. If that's not your style, he's also the voice of God in the Bible Experience: New Testament. Number 7, we have The Red Necklace, read by Tom Hiddleston.
Oh.
So there's that. And part of the reason I clicked on this thing is because, I wanted to see where Harry Potter ended up. Because Harry Potter, I think of the professional audiobooks that I've listened to, that's the best one I've heard. But I think they have the wrong guy because I think the earlier ones it was read by Stephen Fry, but the Jim Dale ones at the end were the ones I listened to where he did such a great job bringing each character to life in that one. But the last one I'm going to talk about is number 3, Lolita, that's read by Jeremy Irons.
Okay.
Irons has done dramas and comedies, so he knows how to work the book's absurd moments without making us laugh at the book's tragic or repulsive moments. So yeah, so this is kind of a thing now where you might have some books are being they're trying to get the big name actors to read them. Someone in the comments said that there is an F. Murray Abraham reading of Interview with a Vampire that's out there. He also James Marsters, who did the Dresden Files, the Screwtape Letters by John Cleese, and I'm sure that it's been talked about on some backseat producer production about Will Wheaton reading Ready Player One.
Right, yeah.
So if that interests anyone out there, go check it out. All right, Art, what do you got next?
Okay, well, the one I should have read last time to follow up G.I. Joe should have been this one. Dino Riders to be a major movie franchise. So, do you remember Dino Riders at all?
No, but please refresh my memory.
Okay, so Dino Riders were it were these men riding dinosaurs with a bunch of like cybernetic, armament attachments. They were basically like giant battle dinosaurs, and it was totally in that late 80s, let's blow everything up and let's sell toys to kids line of toys. I can't see how you don't remember these. Maybe it's just because you're just a little older, I don't know.
Or a lot
But I
older.
took
Go ahead.
okay I was hey I was trying to be nice. So it's the article starts off, "This past summer we were all reminded that moviegoers love dinosaurs, and we know that people who make movies love to borrow their ideas from anywhere they can. We're also aware this has been done so often that Hollywood is running out of properties to turn into movies. Combine these three facts together, and you come with the latest plan to build a blockbuster franchise, a Dino Riders movie." And so yeah, guys riding around on dinosaurs with weapons on them, blowing each other up. I think they need to call Michael Bay, because he is set for this project.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about
So
that.
you're gonna have to go YouTube some Dino Riders clips.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe let's not say I did.
Yeah. All right. That's it for my news. What else do you have? Do you have anything else?
Okay. Then I'll wrap up with the last thing I saw. So I had one of those total clickbait, we're gonna make you scroll through 15 pages to get a few pieces of information. And it was the sequels that have been greenlit or are in production that you might not have heard of. So first on the list we have Now You See Me 2, the second act. Now, did you see Now You See Me?
No, I have
Okay.
not, but I'm familiar with it.
Yes, another one that I want to see. I heard another somebody else talking about it, giving it another glowing review, and now to find out there's a sequel, I've got to get caught up. I hear it's going to be minus Ilsa Fisher though. Number two on the list is Avatar 2 is in the works. We've known this for some time. Cameron will be directing on it, and there are also talks of a 3 and 4. So I thought that was interesting. So I mean, you make a $1 billion movie, why not make a few of them?
Right.
Super Troopers 2 had a Indiegogo campaign that raised $3.1 million.
I think I've talked about that Kickstarter
Yeah, you
or the
have.
Indiegogo, but go ahead.
Yeah, yes, and so they are production is in full swing on that one, so it made the list, and I thought I'd bring that up. Austin Powers 4. That one I found very surprising because I thought the third one really didn't do that well at the box office, but I could be totally misremembering that. We have a Zombieland 2 to be directed by Ruben Fleischer coming back for the second one. So that's good news, being as he directed the first one as well. I thought it was interesting that we've got two Jesse Eisenberg movies on this list. Who Framed Roger Rabbit 2?
Whoa.
Yes, and Zemeckis is on board to direct the animation, and Bob Hoskins has been on board the entire time they've been talking about it. So I like the sound of that. There is Clerks 3. Clerks 3 is done being written. Kevin Smith says it will be the final in the Clerks trilogy, and he's saying he thinks it's the best of the bunch. It's the empire of the trilogy, in his opinion. So we'll see what happens there. Have you seen the first two Clerks movies?
Yes.
Okay. I like Kevin Smith, and I even liked what's the one everybody hates?
Jersey Girl.
Jersey Girl. I enjoyed Jersey Girl. And the last one on the list, Zoolander 2. The first Zoolander. You know what? I'm not a big
Ben
the
Stiller.
star Ben Stiller. Yeah, Ben Stiller just doesn't do it for me. I mean, his movies are okay. I watch them, but they're not anything I go back to.
Yeah, he's up and down for me.
Yeah.
He's up and down for me, but a lot of these sequels, especially the comedies, I don't know if I want to see more of it.
Right.
I thought we wouldn't see any more Austin Powers.
Yeah, fourth Austin Powers, that kind of blows my mind.
Yeah.
That well was pretty tap dry.
Yeah.
So that's all the important news. That's what I've got. So
you go ahead. And there was something that I was going to mention during the new release part of our show, or the new releases part of our show. I wanted to make a quick mention of Beasts of No Nation. Now, I'm not bringing this up just to taunt Art about Idris Elba, because he is one of the stars of this movie. But this is a Netflix movie. And usually you say, yeah, you know, that just means I can watch on Netflix. No, this is a movie that is going to be in the theater that is being distributed by Netflix.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. It'll be interesting to see how many theaters it gets into, because I don't know what kind of relationship Netflix has with all the big theater chains.
Yeah.
So
it was Beasts of No Name?
Beasts of No Nation.
Nation.
Yeah, it's... it's on a Box Office Mojo.
Okay. No, I...
So, something, well, you know, something to keep an eye on for next week.
Okay, now I'm going to say this again, all right? I like Idris Elba a lot. I don't have any problems with Idris Elba, okay?
I know.
My
problem
is with all you white people, when anytime there's a black role to be filled, the first name that comes out of your mouth is Idris Elba. There are many fine black actors in Hollywood. It doesn't always have to be Idris Elba. I love Idris Elba. It just doesn't always have to be Idris Elba.
So you're saying that non-white people don't like Idris Elba?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, well, I don't know what to tell you, man. Boy, it didn't take long for Texas to get into you.
Rant. I've been ranting. I will happily rant. I have been ranting for all the years I've been on the podcast, sir.
Just put the gun down. Okay.
They haven't issued me one yet, and I've only gone shooting once since I've been down here. So.
All right. Good to know. Good to know. And on that note... that is it for this week, or for this episode of Backseat Box Office. So everyone, thank you for listening. And Art, I have to apologize if you listened to last week's episode. Usually.
I did.
Yeah, and for some reason, half of your thing cut out. And by half your thing, I mean your audio file, not anything else. Okay, so anyways.
Wait, what are you talking about?
No. For some reason, the sound file... The last thing we hear is good nut, and that was it.
I didn't even hear the good night.
Yeah, well, I dropped the whole thing.
Okay,
I edited it, so.
Okay, so yeah. I was going to say, because I was just going to bring that up when you said say good night. I was going to say good night and don't cut me off this time.
okay, well, we'll have to say hashtag too late.
Too late.
All right. So anyways, everyone, thank you for listening, and we will, yes, that's right, we will catch you next week, and go see a movie, and take care of yourselves, and we will catch you next time. Art, say goodbye, and I'll leave it in this time.
How about come tell us about what you go see, and goodbye.